Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I have the distinct pleasure and the wonderful opportunity today to be your host as we have arrived on this beautiful day that God has granted us to be so blessed as to rake in all of His wonderful privileges. And we hope and pray that your day is a tremendous day. We hope that the blessings of God shine brightly upon you, and that the riches of God's Word will bless your life as well. What a privilege it is, as we have arrived into this new year, what a privilege it is to be able to study the rich truths that we find out of God's Word, to hide them into our hearts and to apply them in our everyday life. These truths are priceless. They are treasures far above any kind of value. The beauties of rubies and diamonds and gold do not even begin to compare with the riches that are gained from God's Word. So as we continue to dig deeper into God's Word, to be able to see what God's Word is for us, that it is a mirror that reflects, it's a hammer that convicts, it is a fire that refines, it is a seed that multiplies, it is a laver that cleanses. And today, when we get to our study, we're going to be looking at the fact that it is a light to be, well, to guide us, to direct us. It pierces, it drives away darkness. There's a lot to this beautiful analogy that we have, or simile, with regards to the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we shall soon get there, my friends, but I see that we have several of our Bible students that are ready and joining us already. Sister Ferris from Alabama has joined us. Sister Sainer from Oklahoma. Sister Higgins from South Texas is here with us. Sister Woodall from Wisconsin. I see Sister Jensen from the state of Washington has joined us as well. It is always good to have you in our Bible study. And so I noticed that on the TGRN side that we are not up and running. I have everything on my side that is up and running, and so I'm going to send a little note here at the very beginning. Let's see here. There we go. All right, and we will continue with our study, but I see that it's still playing music. That means that we haven't made a connection with our internet radio. But if you're on Facebook Live, we have made a connection. Sometimes that's the hardest connection that we have. Sometimes between Cisco WebEx and Facebook Live, there is some communication difficulties. You know, everyone experiences communication difficulties at times. My wife and I, she will start a sentence and my mind either hasn't been paying attention, which is probably true most of the time, but we will be conversing and I'll be like deer in headlights. I have no idea where she's gone. She's opened up a different box and I'm still in that old box, and she's already moved on to a different box. And so sometimes we have a little communication difficulty along the way. And so I can see where electronics might have the same communication difficulty as well. Well, let's see here. We do have a couple of announcements that we want to bring your way before we get started. We'll have our prayer list. here in a minute, and then we will after that we'll have our song, and if all things are prepared properly, and it looks like it is. See, yesterday we had the communication problem between our song format. It didn't want to play, it didn't want to open up, but today it is the TGR inside, but we're going to get that taken care of here in just a minute. So let's see, the phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. Now, what that means simply is that this is a daily, every weekday, Monday through Friday, live call-in broadcast of Reflections. We don't take this ahead of time. All the mistakes that I make along the way are a part of the program. It's just like daily living. You're going to make mistakes, and those mistakes are going to be sometimes private mistakes, sometimes public mistakes, sometimes just everybody knows. All of your us, all of your, oh, what is that passage? I can't think of that passage. And that's okay with me. That is just fine with me. I like the interaction during program. And so 405-428-2440, you can give us a call and talk to us live on the radio, or as many want to do, they join us on the TGR inside and they make their comments in the discussion window there, or as I see many comments in the Facebook Live program as well. Either way, we love to have you here, and if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, we're grateful that you have chosen to be with us on that venue, and we're so grateful that you are of a spiritual mindset. That's really what we mean when we talk about the fact that this is a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. And so we're glad that you could join us, and we hope that you're able to get in contact with our friends and family at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Please give them a call and set up a time of study with them, or go by during one of their times of study and worship. I think that you will find that God's people are always receptive to visitors, and always receptive to those that love the truth. So again, that's the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Now, if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, now you might be asking, as some have, where is Nesbitt, Mississippi? Well, it's the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. And we're about a stone's throw away from Memphis, Tennessee. But you can come by and join us at 685 Nesbitt Road, at Nesbitt, Mississippi. And that is 9 a.m. for our Bible study on Sunday morning, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Come by and see us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. Well, let's see here. The only other announcement that I have I want to make is do not forget the Standing in the Gap lectures, January the 27th through the 31st. If you want to give me a little heads up about your attendance, I'll see that I can put things in order for you to make sure that all things are prepared and ready. But our theme this year is taken right out of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, and that is, come now, let us reason. The whole purpose of this series of lessons is designed around thinking. What used to be common sense, now is generally referred to as uncommon sense, needs to be brought back to the common man, and common men everywhere. By the way, the further you get away from God, the further you get away from His Word, the further people get away. See, just the other day, a congressman prays, and he ends his prayer with amen and a woman. And that's how he ends his prayer. Now, that kind of silliness is what we're talking about when we talk about the need for sound reasoning. The need for common sense. Come on, people, please. 27 different genders. I mean, let's get some common sense back into our thinking process. I don't care how highly educated a man is, idiosity is still idiosity. I'm sure that's a word in Oklahoma, Sister Sainer, but nevertheless, yes, it is just ridiculous verbiage and silliness, gone amok, we might say. And so come and join us at the Standing in the Gap lectures with Omari French, Jason Rollo, Joshua Rodriguez, Michael Light, Keith Mosier, B.J. Clark, Israel Rodriguez, Tom Waycaster, and Terrence Brownlow Dendy. All of those individuals are going to be joining us that particular week, January the 27th through the 31st. Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and get started with our prayer and our song, and then we will get to our Bible study. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time and we recognize that Thou art a majestic and holy God, that we do not deserve to be within Thy presence. We realize and we humble ourselves, yet through the blood of Jesus Christ and our obedience to the gospel, we come boldly before Thy throne, begging Thy mercies, seeking Thy blessings, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would look down upon our country, especially the state of Georgia today, and throughout this time of disturbance, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that things might be done in such a way in the state of Georgia that truth might always prevail, that a love for righteousness and godliness and goodness might always be the forefront of our thought process. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for our nation. We know that it is divided and that a house divided cannot stand. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might be able to do those things, that we might be able to influence as many people as possible to Thy truth. We ask, our Heavenly Father, that each day that we are blessed to possess, that we might live that in such a way as to bring glory to Thy name. We ask that You would be with each of us as we study Thy Word today, that we might have the deepest of understanding, the richest of insight, and that we might go from this class and that we might make proper application so that others can be blessed out of this study. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere, ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, it's always good when we can have that song start us off in regards to these things. And so we're certainly pleased that we can be involved in this particular Bible study. Let me see here. Before we get started, okay, and let's see here. All right, well, let's open up our thoughts and open up our Bibles to the Word of God and get started here with, well, you know, to me, this is such a wonderful opportunity to be able to study the similitudes of God's Word. I mean, when you think about the different comparisons that we've already dealt with, they've been very powerful indeed. But today may be the most well-known out of all of the similitudes. Number one, the fact that it is God's Word is compared to light, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Maybe the only other one would be in relationship to the seed of Luke chapter 8. And we're going to, we'll talk a little bit about all of those before we close our particular series. But the Word of God is light. You know, in John chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness in relationship to God. God is light. His word is light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, it is described as the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And as such, it reflects the beauty and the brilliance of God himself. God is light. His creation is designed with a reflective guidance system in it so that you and I could be blessed in our direction. We're not just left here all by ourselves, but there is a brilliant nature to this light. You know, glory in the New Testament carries with it that sense of brightness to such a brightness as would be reflected by the very nature and character of God is magnificent indeed. And so that is invested in his word so that when we study the word of God, when we apply the word of God, when we put it into our daily lives, then we become, right, the light, the lights of the world. Now, John 8 in verse number 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, he says, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we're not the origin of light. We are more like the moon and the stars that are out there rather than the sun. The sun shines light. It is the origin of light in our universe. I realize that it had an initial origin, but for light today, it is the means by which our earth is lighted. And yet the moon shines, but it possesses no light. It's simply a reflector. And as such, you and I are reflectors. You know, you might see those reflectors on the side of the road. They don't originate light. They reflect the light that you shine on them. And the same is true with reference to you and I. There is a beautiful song, Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercies. I love that particular song because it talks about the great lighthouse of God's Word. But on the shoreline where there are some dangerous rocks, there are some reflectors that are there so that when the light of the lighthouse shines, there is a reflection for the seaman as he is coming in to the shore. And that's you and I. We are the reflectors of God's Word. And so our lives must reflect the brilliance of God, or we are not. And by the way, the sin damages the reflection process. Any kind of inability to reflect is not a problem with the lighthouse. It is a problem with the reflector, you see. Excuse me there. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, the very first words spoken in our Bible by God is, "Let there be light." Well, what happened? Well, there was light, right? God spake, and it was so. And God spoke it into being. God's Word brought light to the situation, right? God's Word overcomes darkness. I love John chapter 1 and verse number 5, where Jesus and John is delineating several aspects of the nature, excuse me, of Jesus Christ there. And he says that the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended. Well, it certainly did not understand it, but it could not overpower it either. That is, that light, darkness has to flee light. If you go into a room that is dark and you turn on a light, or you bring a light into that room, guess what? Darkness is dispelled out of that. God's Word is the spiritual light that dispels the darkness in our life. And so Sister Woodall is absolutely correct when she says that you can't put light under a bushel. Now you can, but who does that? When you put light under a bushel, you take the oxygen away from the flame, right? You take the power and the brilliance away from it. Nobody lights a light and then puts it underneath a bushel. Nobody does that. And the Word of God is not designed to be hid within my heart and not go anywhere, not produce anything, not be fruitful in its process. And so it is important that when God says, "Let there be light," and there was light, that we understand that darkness took a vacation. Darkness fled at that particular time. It could no longer stand. This is why Satan, a created being, could no longer be in the presence of God. This is why the angels that sinned were cast into outer darkness. The darkness of darkness, Jude says. This is why they could no longer be in the presence of God. Once they were light bearers, but because of sin entering in, they had to be removed from the presence of God. The same is true with reference to the child of a person You think about he grows up in light, and that is in innocent relationship with God. When sin enters in, sin separates. Isaiah 59:1-2. God cannot be in the presence of sin. He is too holy to be able to have any relationship with sin other than driving it out of his presence. And so Psalm 119:105, it talks about thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the brilliance of God's word. It is that spiritual light that gives life. Light and life in John 1, verses 1 through 5 are tied together. Did you notice that? He is the light, and the life is the light of the world. You cannot take light away from the world and at the same time give life. Have you ever noticed the order of creation and how magnificent that section of Scripture is? That there is nothing that is out of order there. God did not create us on the second day. He created us at the very time that was perfect for our entrance into this world. But if you go back to Genesis 1, everything is done that way. There is not anything that is out of order. So no life was created until there was life. God didn't create the trees, as we talked about yesterday, comparing Christians or godly people to trees planted by the rivers of water. He didn't do those trees before he did light. He didn't create the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field, or the creeping things before he created and brought light into existence. No. And so there is a light. I love the passage that Sister Woodall mentions in 1 Peter 2:9. You're talking about an objective statement. You know, there are certain propositional and objective statements in God's word. Think about the propositional state. Here's the proposition of Peter in 1 Peter 2:9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. That's the proposition. Now, what's the objective? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, compare that with Colossians 1:13, a beautiful, beautiful statement by the Apostle Paul about the brethren there, and the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and our obedience to the gospel. Notice what he says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is a kingdom of light. And so God's word is that spiritual light, but it is a spiritual lamp. Do you notice the two that are combined together? It's not just a generic light. You know, the sun lights everything up. And it's a powerful, brilliant light during the day where you can see everything. But even as a man is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he may have the lamp of God's word to guide and direct his path. It is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. You see, with the knowledge of God's word, we can live confidently. It's not like we're fumbling around in the darkness to try to figure things out. This word has delivered light to us. It's the complete revelation of God's will to humanity about redemption and about salvation. The word of God clearly shows the best way to walk in life. In fact, it shows not only the best way, it shows the only way. The path, the only path that will be beneficial to your life is reflected right here in this word. The light of God's word enables us to prevail over darkness and to overcome the darkness that is in this world. And so it is imperative that we understand, you know, that simple phrase in Psalm 119 and 105 has been sometimes used to such an extent that we fail to stop and look at it. You know, I mentioned this with the trees in regards to a the concept of beauty. And you know, sometimes you can pass something every day, and because you are so familiar with it, you forget about its beauty. And so here we have, sometimes we forget about the beauty and the brilliance of the sun that shines every day until we've gone through the darkness of night. And then we remember once again, right? We remember, hey, I want to find a light again, and it's powerful in our lives that way. God does not want his children to go through spiritual darkness. He's designed us to live in the light of his word, and we should ever be in that light. The point is, we don't have to live in spiritual darkness. We don't have to be. We can live in the light. And maybe one of the most beautiful illustrations out of God's word is that we can live within that light, and that we don't have to be in the dark. I don't have to know what to do in regards to a particular item. The Bible tells me. Now, the more knowledge of God's word, then the more access to the beauty of light that I will have. Well, think about Psalm 130, Psalm 119 and verse number 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." So I need that light to shine in my life. Having a Bible, and this is what I want us to understand, this passage is very important for us to comprehend. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Having a Bible is not enough in and of itself to get the light of God's word into our lives. The Bible doesn't work by osmosis. You know, you can't just put the Bible on your shoulder and on your ear and go to sleep at night and then wake up the next morning and by osmosis, all of a sudden, you are a brilliant Bible scholar. It doesn't work that way. Having a Bible is not enough. You got to crack it open. You see, if you want it to work, you've got to read it, you've got to learn it, you've got to understand it, you got to maintain it in your own mind. You can't just be willing to have a intellectual knowledge of God's word. It has to be an applicable knowledge of God's word. Some of the ways that we maintain the light is staying faithful, right? Doing what it says. There is nothing. Let me just pause here for half a second in regards to, there is nothing more damaging to the soul of man, to the heart of a man, than to hear the word of God and not initiate action. See, when you do not apply, initiate action on the word of God, when you hear it, then you begin a hardening process. And over the years, the more you hear the word of God and the more you fail to act, then the worse the hardening process gets. Sister Higgins mentions the engrafting of God's word from James chapter 1 and verse number 21. It has to be engrafted. It has to be ingrained, right, in our minds. Luke chapter 8 reminds us, and this is dealing with a different analogy, but I want you to notice here that those who hear the word of God by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now there's a double-edged sword with relationship to this process. If I hear the word of God and I don't activate the word of God, I harden the heart. If I harden the heart, I have an inability to hear the word of God and to ingrain or engraft that word into my heart. And so we must maintain it by reading it daily, by praying about and over the word of God. We need to be remembering what he has done for us, telling others about it. There's so much, and I want to get to some practical stuff here in just a minute. There are five things that I want to note here before we close in relationship to some things that are absolutely essential if we're going to put the light of God's word. Psalm 119 and verse number 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so it becomes important that the word of God has an application. And I don't know how to stress that. In fact, I'm not sure I could overstress the applicability of God's word to our lives. And so we are the light of the world. Listen, if there's a problem with this world, could it be, not saying that it always is, but could it be that our reflectors are too smudged, that they're broken, that they're that they're reflecting the wrong thing? Maybe there's something wrong with Christians in our system today. Philippians chapter 2, you know, verses 15 and 16, that the sons of God, that we should be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, in the first century, Jesus came during a very dark time. The gospel and the New Testament church, Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, the gospel of Christ, all came at maybe one of the darkest times in history. And they changed the world with the light of God's word. So we can complain about how hard and how difficult it is and how wicked this world is. But my friends, have you ever thought about this? I've mentioned this in relationship to a study of Ruth. Ruth opens up with a particular phrase. You remember that during the time of the judges, the light of Naomi, the light of Ruth, the light of Boaz, they shone during the time of one of the most wicked times in Israel's history. We need to be that kind of light in our society today. So let's talk about these five things before we run out of time. These are applicable things, and I want us to go back to Psalm 119. You know, Psalm 100, if you're going to talk about the Word of God, you probably need to spend a lot of time with Psalm 119, right? Here definitely is a psalm about the beauty and magnificence of God's Word. Now, I don't know who authored the psalm. Some will argue David, some might argue Ezra. I don't know who authored it, But I do know who the original author of it is, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that holy men of God were carried along or moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spake and they wrote. So I know that Psalm 119 is of divine origin, that God is the mind that produced this beauty of 176 verses about the Word of God. And during this time, he would talk and he would describe the Word of God as commandments, law, statutes, precepts, ordinances, rules, words, testimony, and many other things. These are the words of God about God's Word. And so it would behoove us, would it not, to pay attention to what God says about His own Word. Well, let's notice just the pragmatic aspect of Psalm 119. Now, there are a lot of things I would love to be able to say about this. Number one, everything needs to be done with the whole heart. Now, these are not the five things. I just want to kind of set this up. But have you ever noticed as you're reading through verse number 2, for example, that seek Him with the whole heart? In verse number 10, with my whole heart I have sought Thee. Verse number 34, observe it with my whole heart. Verse number 58, I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Verse number 69, he says, I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart. I mean, we could go on and on. The whole heart has to be involved. We're to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God doesn't accept partiality in service. You cannot give some to God, some to the devil, some to yourself. You can't do that. You cannot divide up. God either has it all or He has nothing. God never accepts second place. Never. And so Matthew 6 and verse number 33 indicates that. But the whole heart needs to be invested in this. Notice here as well, he talks about the fact that we need to meditate upon God's Word. I want to get into that in just a minute. But the delighting of God's Word is another aspect of this. Loving God's Word is another aspect. So let's look at these five items. Number one, we need to trust. This may be the first, most fundamental aspect of all of this. We must trust the Word of God. Time and time again, the author here expresses a belief in the Scriptures, that they are true. Notice Psalm 119. All of these are going to be 119, but 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are true. They are true, but this man that is doing the writing says, I believe them. Notice verse 66. Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments. He trusted in their reliability. Notice verse number 42. So shall I have wherewithal to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in Thy word. He trusts in the reliability. God's word always has the answer for us. It's a shame that so many Christians, it's a shame that so many people in the world view this as an ancient, archaic book. No, it's not. It was brought into existence in an ancient time period, some 2,000 years ago, no doubt. But that's not its origin. Its origin is of eternity. And these are eternal principles. And you know what eternal means? That it's not susceptible to time. Time has no effect on the eternal word. It is always, always ready and available for us. So Psalm 119 and verse 160, the sum, the American Standard says, the sum of Thy word is truth. Not some, not S-O-M-E, but S-U-M-E. The totality of all that God says. The King James says, thy word is true from the beginning. From beginning to end, when you calculate all that God says on a particular subject, you have the truth. And it will always be the truth. There is never a time when it's not the truth. So the first key step is that as a seeker, that I need to understand that this word is fully and entirely trustworthy. There is no step that I can take that would be a wrong step if I'm following the steps of God. And our culture simply has lost sight of, and it's our job. Listen, if ever there was a light that you need to shine into the world, you shine this light heavily in the world, and that is that the Word of God is trustworthy. That's number one. Number two, if we're going to activate the Word of God in our lives, not only do we have to trust it, but we have to study it. Now, you have to study it to trust it, but you also have to continue to study to continue to trust it. So the ideal here is, don't just believe the Word, don't just be a student of the Word, invest yourself entirely in the Word. Look at verse number 73 with me here. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 155, he seeks. Notice here, 155, he says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. The ideal is that he's a seeker of those statutes. He memorizes those. Notice verse number 153. He says, for I do not forget thy law. It's never far from him. He doesn't have to, you know, sometimes in our society we have Bibles so available that we don't put the Word of God to memory anymore. We have access to it on our phones. We have access to it on our computers. We have access to it everywhere. And so we don't put it in the mind so that it stays there hard and fundamental. No, we need to study God's Word. We need to memorize it, and we need to meditate upon it regularly. Notice in Psalm 119, verse number 15, I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse number 23, but thy servant did meditate in thy precepts. Verse number 27 is interesting because the King James talks about it from the vantage point of, it translates the same word as talk. He says, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. You know, sometimes I will tell people, when you come by the office and or the study here, And you hear me talking, and then you come in and I'm not on the phone and nobody's here, I've not gone crazy. I'm just doing a little meditating. Sometimes you have to meditate verbally. You meditate out loud. That's how this word is being utilized. I love 47 and 48. He says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved, and my hands will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. You see, we have to trust in God's Word, we have to study God's Word, and we have to use, I love Sister Woodall, live it and love it, right? Use the Word of God. It's one thing to believe it, it's another thing to know it, but it's another thing altogether to rely totally upon it, right? It's my guide, it's my direction in life, it's my challenge in life, it's the encouragement of life. It's my hope in life. And so when you look at Psalm 119, look at verse number 24. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. You see, they give me counsel. They give me strength. Notice verse number 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. They give me comfort in affliction. Verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, hath made me alive. It is a lamp, right? And it guides and it directs me. Look with me at Psalm, or verse number 156. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. It was the source of David's deliverance day in and day out. And so it is absolutely essential that we maintain a healthy respect for the power of God's word in our lives. We must maintain the knowledge that God's word has the power to change people. It can change a man of anger into a man of peace. It can change a man of lust into a man of love. It can change a man of pride into a man of humility. It has that ability. It has taken slave owners and made them slaves to the Word of God. It has taken those who have driven people to their death, to go to their own death in love for this Word. That's the power that is invested in this Word. Well, number four, we must, and I've referenced this a couple of times, we must delight in the Word of God. What an amazing thing that David tells us so often. It's an affinity. It's an intimacy with God's Word. He loves God's Word. In verse 159, he says, "Consider how I love thy precepts." Oh, how beautiful that is. Or back up to verse number 97. Oh, how I love thy law. There's something to be loved about this wonderful word. And so he's delighting in it. He's rejoicing in it. Look at 162. Verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." The word is wondrous. Look at verse number 18. He says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." It is better than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Look at verse number 172 here. He says here, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. It's sweeter than honey. Now, we're going to get to this a little bit later, but I do want to look at this. Notice verse number 103. I love this. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." That's the Word of God. That's how the Word of God. I'm convinced that this might be one of the missing pieces, one of the fundamental missing pieces of Christians today with regards to the Word of God. Don't view the Bible as just a mechanical, sterile tool that Christians are supposed to use. It's not like taking a dose of medicine where it's just, you know, I got to obey God's word. Oh no, I hate to do this, but I get to, right? That's the mentality that we're talking about here. But now, this leads us to the final point, number five, obeying God's word. Boy, if you have those first four in line, doesn't it make this last one so much easier? There are so many people, you people always talking about commandments and keeping the law and all that kind of stuff. That's when you have these first four down, it is such a pleasant thing to get to obey the Word of God. And so how often he expresses his willingness to listen to give heed to obey the law of God. There's never a time in this psalm where there's any activity of disobedience. The Word of God doesn't produce that. And so it is important that we understand, you know, this is how Jesus viewed the Word of God. Do a study sometime, and maybe we'll get to this on how Jesus viewed and utilized the Word of God, and you will find these 5 points are at the heartbeat of Jesus while he was upon this earth. Yes, ma'am, joy and peace to the soul of any man who will see the Word of God as the light of the world. May we go forth taking the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, letting our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. God bless, my friends, and have a wonderful day.